So today I'm going to talk briefly overview the DirectX. So first of all, what is DirectX? It's a little bit different from OpenGL. DirectX is a whole bunch of things. First of all, it's a 3D rendering library. It's a graphics interface for rendering 3D things. So that part is called the Direct3D. And Direct3DX is the math library for DirectX to do a whole bunch of linear algebra, like the matrix transformation, and vertex transformation, these kind of things. It also has the direct input and also X input for the interface for like the joystick or some other things. It also has this 2D support for rendering 2D images. And the last thing is for audios. It has many interfaces or libraries for audio input and output. So totally, it's a package for mainly focusing on game programming. And so the first question is why a single interface can adapt so many different graphics cards, or even graphics cards that are generated or manufactured after the DirectX is released. So anybody thought of that? Because if you have a new graphics card, the machine code in the graphics card may have changed, or the circuits. So maybe DirectX cannot support that. So why it can support? DirectX can support so many new graphics cards. Yep.
Do graphics card developers create graphics cards that work with DirectX?
Yes. So first of all, before the modern graphics cards, there is something called the 3D accelerator that besides the CPU. So at that time, the manufacturer, like the operating system manufacturer, like the Microsoft, has to write codes that adapt the 3D accelerator, because otherwise they can the programmer for the system like the Windows won't be able to access the power of the 3D accelerator from the Windows system. So later. Microsoft thought of this idea of, what about I give you the interface and you adapt with my interface, so that later if you have a more powerful graphics card, I can still use it. So that's how that's how DirectX is implemented. So it gives you gives the manufacturer a bunch of interfaces, then they adapt those interfaces. So here are some hardcore games that are generated using DirectX. This is called the X3 Reunion. It's a space simulation game. This is the very famous game called the Mass Effect 3. Maybe some of you have played that. So, and it can also render our cartoonish effects like this. Legend of Heroes 7. So here is an example of a real-time hair rendering. So this kind of this is like the old rendering using old graphics card and technology. So those hair on the girl looks like tapes. And now it's like realistic hair. And all these are rendered in real time, like 30 frames per second. So you can actually see this kind of effect in the game, not in the movie.
So basically you mean the hair fibers, each hair fibers are modeled individually.
Yes.
Yeah. Versus the ponytail is a like a cylindrical type of like shape. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we choose DirectX? This lecture will be focusing on the Direct3D because it's a computer graphics lecture. So I won't be talking about the things like direct input or audio things. So why do you choose DirectX? First of all, it's because all of us are using Windows, and most of the games are played on Windows, so that's why. Because also the DirectX is controlled by Microsoft, and you know Windows is not open source, so that's why DirectX is the most efficient running on the Windows. Compared with OpenGL, which is controlled by another group. And also, DirectX is frequently updating. There are 11 versions in 10 years from 1992. And also, it's object-oriented programming. It's different from the OpenGL, which is C-based. So there is no object-oriented programming. But there's one advantage for OpenGL, it's the cross-platform. It's cross-platform, but DirectX can only support it by Microsoft products like Windows or Xbox. So here's the graphics pipeline for DirectX. First of all, DirectX is embedded here. So usually if you program a Windows program, you use the something called Windows API, Application Programming Interface, or MFC. That's higher level than. So this is the, suppose this is the Windows API that programmer use to create Windows and render things on the window. DirectX is another path. So it direct access this display hardware. So then everything can run faster. And here is the graphics pipeline for Direct3D. We can see all those things we're familiar with. Vertex shader, pixel shader. There's one thing called geometry shader that's introduced since Direct3D 10. It's giving the programmer a chance to manipulate the geometry. So, for example, if you have a vertex, if you have a simple geometry of an object, and in the geometry shader, you can further describe each vertex on this object as a triangle or some more complicated things. And later in Direct3D 11, you have this tessellation shader. So all those three stages are for tessellation. So then you can have more complex surfaces. So you don't have to save the complex geometry. You just need to compute the surface on the fly when rendering things.
Yeah, so in class we talk about the subdivision, right? So we have to do it before you render, right? So you have to interpolate all these vertices, etc., right? But now that with the DX, you know, you can actually, with the geometry shader, okay, and the tessellator, you can actually, they will actually interpolate the vertices on the fly for you. So before OpenGL, you cannot generate new vertices on the fly, but now you can generate new vertices. That's a very cool feature.
Yeah, and it's on the graphics card, so it's a parallel. It's instead of on the CPU. So you have a question?
Yeah, is that also where you implement the displacement map?
That's
gonna be for vertex.
You could. Yeah, but usually you implement it on the vertex shader, so you just shift the vertex.
Yeah, it's not for shifting the vertices. It's not for changing the vertex position or anything. It's for adding new vertices. So
for
the geometry shader is for adding more vertices.
Okay.
For increasing the vertices, not for changing the vertices.
Okay. Then, wouldn't you want that to happen before the vertex shader?
After the vertex shader, after you do the transformations. Oh, by the way, you see this those model view transformation, viewing projection transformation are gone. That's because we are doing that on the vertex shader. So the programmer is in control of that.
Okay. But if you do all that and mm-hmm. then you add more vertices in the geometry shader,
uh-huh.
then those new vertices
right.
in the
right.
shader won't be applied to them.
Right? True. So, but you have a tessellator which works as if an interpolator, right? So you have the two choices. You can apply all the, it's like a GRU versus FUN, right? In GRU, you compute shading for all vertices, then you interpolate, right? It's more efficient, right? It's more efficient, faster. Versus you can compute every pixel shading, right? The same thing here, right? You can do the transformation of vertices, of existing vertices, then interpolate the rest of the vertices. Or you can interpolate them first, right? Then change them, right? So it's a design issue.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
So in people like to treat the graphics card as a parallel processing engine. So nowadays we have this CUDA that's provided by NVIDIA and also OpenCL on both NVIDIA cards and ATI cards. And DirectX is also giving you this opportunity of using this called compute shader. It's almost identical to CUDA on the NVIDIA graphics cards, and also it's identical to OpenCL on the ATI graphics cards. So it will discard the whole graphics pipeline and only use that as a parallel engine. So how to set up the DirectX? For us programmers, we download and install the DirectX SDK from Microsoft website, and it's free. So you can download and use it. So it's very simple to use. So you just add, for your project, if you want to use the DirectX, you just add the header and libraries to your project. That's it. You can use all the functions. So if you want to ship it to somebody and somebody wants to use it, you don't need to give them the whole SDK. You just give them the runtime, which is very lightweight. It's like 50 megabytes. You can also download it from the Microsoft. Also, it's embedded in the Windows. So right now, I don't think you need to install anything. You just run it. So here is the procedure, the very simple procedure of implementing a Direct3D program on the Windows. And it's almost the same for all different DirectX programs. So it's an abstraction. So first, on the Windows, you have to define a window to show things, right? Otherwise, you won't be called a Windows program. So you define a window using Windows API as the same as when you do like MFC or Windows API programming. And then you create the DirectX device, which is in charge of communicating with the graphics card. And also associate the device with the window. So then everything will be rendered on this window. Then you load shaders, like vertex shader, geometry shader, and pixel shader. And then you set up all those. This stage cannot be reversed because for vertices, you have to create a link to the vertex shader and all those textures are also linked to this vertex shader. So that's why you have to create the shader first and then create the geometry. Because everything is saved on the GPU, so they are linked to those shaders. And also matrices and textures. After that, you just draw. You just ask the device to draw it, then that's it.
So I just want to make a comment. So the process for creating a very simple D3D is probably 10 times, maybe it's an underestimate, 10 times more
yeah.
complicated than OpenGL. In our first lecture, we used Galat, right? So it's very easy. We initiate the Galat window. We initialize the viewport, right? Then we set up the world, the author 2D, blah blah, right? Then we set up the Galat callback, and then we're ready to go, right? Maybe 20, 30 lines of code. We're all set, right? At least you can show a triangle, right? But you don't have to show a triangle in D3D.
Yeah, I'll show how to
He will show you. It's 10 times more work. You'll see that because of the interface.
Yeah, because it wants to have high performance, so that's why you have to access the low-level codes. Then you have to set up a lot of things. That's why it's more difficult. So this is how to. First of all, we want to. This is the overview of the whole program. So Actually, it's in the main function. So first you initialize the window, and you initialize the device. All those is to test whether you failed. Let's assume just it won't fail. So you initialize the window and initialize the device, and then you enter this message loop. That's called the Windows message loop. So then, after this, the program won't stop until it receives this window message quit. That's when you click this cross on the right top of the window, and then it will. So in this loop, what the program will do is, if you drag or like enlarge or do something to the window, it won't render. Otherwise, it will render. So what you will see is when you drag the window won't be refreshed. And when you don't do anything to the window, the DX will be drawing things you want on the window. So this is why there's a if sentence here. So after you close the window, then you can clean up the device to release all the memory. So here is inside this the first step, how to initialize the window. It's a Win API programming. I just briefly talked about it. So you have to define a window class that describes what the window will look like. It will have border or will not have border. How big is it? What kind of background it will have, or it will do redraw the vertically or horizontally or both of them, and what kind. So this is the class name. So later, if you want to create this kind of window, you will use this class name, and it's user defined. Here we just define it as tutorial window class, and what kind of icon you will be using. So after that, you will create an object of this window. It's like the object-oriented programming. You define a class first, and then you create multiple objects of this class. So then you will create a window of this kind, and then you will have this title called the Direct3D 11 tutorial, and so all those user default things we don't care about. And this is the size of the window. And one thing that's very important is this handle, which is a pointer to this created window. Later we will use, because we want to associate the Direct3D device to this window, so all we need to use is this pointer. So after we create a window, we get this pointer. In Windows, we call it the handle. And here is how we create. So this is the overview, and after we initialize the window, we initialize the device. So here's how we created the device, a lot of things. First, we need to define the driver type. So whether it's hardware support or it's warp or it's reference. Reference means it's software support. It's simulated, it's not related to hardware. So it's for debugging. So whether it's your hardware has some problem or your program actually has some problem. And by the way, you can also see in this reference type, you can also debug the things on the shader, because everything's on the CPU on the memory. So if you want to see whether your shader has a bug, you use the reference type, and then you check. You can literally check every value in the shader. It's a parallel engine. Normally on the hardware, you cannot check anything. But here, if you use the reference type, then you can check everything. But it's very slow. It's simulated on the CPU. And this feature levels is just whether your hardware will support DirectX 11 or DirectX 10.1 or 10. This another describer is this DXGI swap chain. This is actually your graphics pipeline. So this is here is defining what kind of back buffer you will be using, the width height, and how many back buffer you will be using. That's one. And from buffer is already there, so back buffer is just one. You don't need to use two. So the refresh rate, denominator, that's the refresh rate divided by the denominator, so it's 60 frames per second. So here is very important. Is this the graphics pipeline will be linked with your window. So here is the handle to the window. So here is for multi-sampling. We'll just ignore it. And whether it's rendered in window or it's a full screen. So if it is true, it will be in window mode. If it's false, then it will be the full screen mode. Usually, when you play a game, it's in full screen mode. Right? You don't see anything. So here is, after we describe all those variables, we just create the device using these variables. The reason they use this structure is because if you want to put all those variables in the function, it will be really a long function, right? So that's why they have, you will see all those kind of structures when you use DirectX, many, many structures. The reason is that there are so many variables to define, so that's why they group them into structures too, so that you can easily handle. And after that, you have this return value to test whether the device has been created. So after that, you have this this global pointer to the DX3D device. And there's a device context to linked with the device. That's the new feature of DirectX 11, but I won't talk about it. It's a little bit complex. So after we create the window and the device and so associate the device to the window, we want to create the shader. So it's a little bit, I think it's almost the same as OpenGL. So you compile the shader from the file. The file is very big, it can have multiple shaders. So you have to give the name, actual name of the shader. So it's called VS, the vertex shader. I'll show you the file later. I think the file is here, yeah. So this is the file, this is the effect, the shader file. So we have the vertex shader defined and also a pixel shader defined.
But this is the shaders that are returning HLSF.
Yes, high-level shader. It's different from GL shading language.
Yes, so I forgot to mention that I talk about the GLSL shaders, right? So there are three types of shaders. GLSL, which is easiest to use forever. You've seen that, right? You program yourself. It's so easy to use. Not very powerful. Cannot do many fancy things, okay? GLSL. Versus, so this is more like education, okay? Tutorial. So there are the NVIDIA version, which is called the CG, okay? So this most like the extended version of GLSL. Versus the DX version called the HLSL, high level shading language. Okay, so like nearly all DX shaders are returning HLSL. So.
Yeah. So here are very simple examples, so you will see. I'll explain later, but so here is how to compile the shader from file. Those are all DirectX interfaces. You create a compile shader from file, you can directly use it. And later it will give you this pointer to the vertex shader. And after you compile it, you create it as a pointer. And later you can set it to the device, say, I want to use this vertex shader when I render. And also it's the same for the pixel shader. So the structure is the same. First you compile, then you create. Create after that, you get a pointer, the pixel shader, and then you point the device to this shader. So you can use it. And the shader code is very simple. First of all, the input of this vertex shader is the vertex position. And then it just returns the position. What will be returned will be interpolated by the graphics card. And here we also have this input as the position. It's the same. So it returns the floating point, a four-dimensional floating point, and you will get a four-dimensional floating point. Those two should be consistent. And after that, you in the pixel shader, you just return a constant color.
Yeah, so they don't have like varying or these kind of things. They just have a natural interface. What's the output from the vertex shader will be the input to the raster and the input to the pixel shader.
Yeah, unless you have a geometry shader inside, then it will be totally changed. So the geometry shader input will be floating point 4. Then later it will be maybe a triangle. So it will be a list of vertices. Then the input of the pixel shader will be a
So what happens if I want to have multiple varying? I don't know, let's give it another thought. What do you think? what if I, like, this returns something, right? That's fine, you know? But what about I want to, you know, vary both normal and the vertices? What do I do?
So you just define a structure in the effect.
It's a very common trick, okay? And then in your interview, people will ask you, if I have a function, I want to return multiple values, what do I do? Essentially, you define a structure. You define a structure, then put everything in the structure, then you return the structure. Very simple, okay?
So, now here's how you define the 3D geometry. You have this, suppose we want to render a triangle. And we have three vertices for the triangle. These are the 3D coordinates for each vertex. And then we define something called the vertex buffer. Later we will use, if there are a lot of, it's a complex geometry, we'll use vertex buffer and the index buffer. It's the same as your OBJ file. You have multiple vertices, and then you have the index list that associated with the vertices to save memory. So here is how you define the vertex buffer and create the vertex buffer. So after that, you will get a pointer to this vertex buffer. It will be so everything. So after you create things like buffer and the thing before, like the vertex shader, pixel shader, it will be saved. The thing will be saved on the GPU memory instead of the CPU memory. So then the device which is controlling the GPU will be directly using that. If it is on CPU, then it cannot use that because everything should be on the GPU. So here, if you create the vertex buffer, this pointer will be pointing something on the GPU. The input assembler will be setting this. So you use the device and set the vertex buffer. And later the graphics pipeline will know this is the input. These are the the vertices we want to use. So after that, this is the rendering code. And it's very simple. It's set the vertex shader. Set means the graphics pipeline will be using this vertex shader, this pixel shader, and you draw three vertices. And here the present has two variables. One is set whether it's a vertical synced, or the other one is whether it will refresh if the previous frame is not done. So both of them are set as zero. So here is what you see. And I think I'll use it. I have another more complex demo to show. So here is the same code that I used in the slide. And when I run it, so you'll see this is a triangle. And you cannot do anything to it. It's just a rendering triangle. And you will see, if I drag it, you won't see anything because of the message loop. It's actually passing things to the window, so then the DX won't be rendering anything. So if I stop doing things, then it will be rendering the triangle. And this is a more complex example, but I think the code is. So here is how you define structures in the shader. Like the vertex input will be two things. One is position, the same thing. The other one is normal. Then the pixel input will be the same. So in the vertex stage, you will be doing this world view and projection transformation, like what we do in the OpenGL, in the graphics pipeline, which they do it for ourselves, for us. So here we do ourselves. And later we do the normal transformation. Here is, because it's just rotation, it just skips the viewing and projection here. So later, in the pixel shader, it will compute this diffuse light. So it has this light direction, and it will dot with the input normal. So this is the dot product here. After you dot it, you just multiply the light color to get the correct color. and to get the final color. So there are two lights, so that's why there's a for loop here. And here's the result. So there are two light sources. One is the cube here, one is that rotating around this cube. And this cube is also rotating around itself. So you'll see the red light is pointing this, when it's rotating, it's pointing differently on this this cube. And the code is very simple. You can just check it when you have time. There are a whole bunch of samples when you install this DirectX SDK, from beginner to intermediate and to advanced. So if you are interested, you can check them. And they have a lot of comments in the code. You can easily understand.
Can you show us the wrapper for the Windows wrapper for the shader? Just want to show the
DXU.
The DXU.
Oh, okay. The code?
Yes.
No.
I mean your own code. You're running.
Oh, there is no DXUT. It's just directly accessing everything. It's not using DXUT.
Oh.
So DXUT is like the GLUT is for easily used.
Can you make the font smaller so you can show us the structure of the code, right? Just like the OpenGL, right? So
I think this one is the same as I showed you. So it's still in its window, in its device, and the message loop. I'll show you one example using DXUT. So if you use DXUT, it's much simpler. It will create a window and ask you for all those callbacks, like the GLUT, like the rendering callback, and many callbacks. I don't remember. Let me see. So. So if you use DXUT, just define DXUT, then you can set everything like device changing, message proc, keyboard and frame move, and also the mouse, all those things, like when you do GLUT. And you can easily modify the code. I think it's easier than if you interact with DirectX directly. But it's very limited. It's only, first of all, it's restricted to one window. So what if you want to use multiple windows? Then there's no way using DXUT. Uh-huh. It's just for, like, if you want to do a demo or for research purposes, you can use DXUT. If you want to build a product, you have to deal with Direct3D.
So DXUT is essentially a Windows version of GLUT.
Yes. Uh-huh. You want to see the demo. So DXUT have more functionalities. Like it can create buttons or sliders or so like these kind of buttons. So it's more complex than it's more useful than GLUT.
So has anyone used OpenGL and you want to use create a button, buttons and slider bars? Use what did you use?
I made them input stuff because nothing worked.
Well, usually you can use a TKOTK. In old days, you can have a wrapper outside which allows you to do the same thing like GLUT, but bypasses GLUT, but you can also do the UI designs,
I think that's it.
Okay. Now, any questions? Good.
Is there any limitation for the resolution?
For the resolution?
Yeah.
Why resolution?
You define your own.
I just found all the code are just 800 by 600.
Oh, when you define the window or the back buffer, you have to assign the resolution. That's up to you.
Oh, so you can set very high.
Yeah, you can set it very high.
Well, I think you forget to mention one thing, and that's the trackball.
Oh, DXUT has your own. It has its own
that's
implemented trackball.
Most important. So you need to do your homework too, right? It's implemented. There is a trackball object.
It's called a camera.
Okay,
so.
Okay. Do you want to show where it is?
I think it's way. So there's a DXUT camera.h, and so you define this model view camera. Then you can use it to do. It will do all the those transformation for you. And you input the.
Oh, this is so pretty.
You input your mouse, the mouse position, and it will do the computation for you.
Okay. All right, that's all for today, and almost for the whole semester. So I will see you on Monday, okay? Don't forget to fill out the course evaluation form, okay? You like it, you hate it. All right.
Thanks, it's very nice. I think it's very clear.